Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing. Not we will rejoice. We are rejoicing at this very moment. We are rejoicing in our salvation. We are rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord to us in the land of the living. We are rejoicing because He awoke us this morning, enabling us to begin another day. This third day of the month of December 2017, this year is almost finished, but God is not always finished. He's not almost finished. He's beginning. He's beginning a new thing. He says, behold, a new thing I do. Before it spring forth, I tell it to you. This morning, as we gather together here at Lion of Judah Worship Center, I am Pastor Dougherty, and I welcome you. Please come in, get a notebook, and be prepared to receive the goodness of the Lord as we believe by faith and prayer that the Holy Spirit of the living God will open the words of this message and will make them applicable to each hearer, that we will see and know and understand the goodness of the Lord to us in the land of the living. This morning, our worship scripture is taken from Habakkuk, the third chapter, the 17th through the 19th verses. Habakkuk's a prophetic book. It's called one of the minor prophets because it is not as long as Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Isaiah, but a prophet is a prophet. And what he had to say is equally as important as any other prophetic utterance. Habakkuk had a problem, not unlike us in the body of Christ today. Habakkuk saw the increase of sin and sinfulness, and he had cried out to the Lord, but the Lord had been silent. He had not replied. And in verse 1, Habakkuk spoke to the Lord about this. And in chapter 2, the Lord replied to Habakkuk. And then in chapter 3, it's really a psalm, because Habakkuk wrote a psalm or a song unto the Lord. And this is its conclusion. And it's all about trust. Trust the Lord. Trusting, believing, even though you have not yet seen the manifestation of the promise. And this is the way Habakkuk put it. I'm reading from the New King James. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. That's devastation. That's poverty. That's famine. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God, all caps, the self-existent one, Yahweh, Elohim, is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. Praise the living God. O Lord God of power and might, who dwelleth between the cherubim and the seraphim, whom we worship and adore, whom in whose presence we bow down, our soul and all soul portions, we thank you for this day that you have made. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. We give thanks to you for your great goodness to us in the land of the living. We ask you for forgiveness, O Lord our God. Search us, Holy Spirit, and if you find any pockets of darkness lurking, if there are any hidden places that have not yet been illuminated by the light of your word, O Jesus, may that light shine. And may the hidden sins, doubt, fear, unbelief, lurking in dark crevices be revealed and be cast out, that our souls may be filled with the light of your word. that our spirits may be as a city set on a hill, disseminating light, and that light illuminates our souls and all soul portions. That light of your word illuminates our bodies, every cell, every organ, our soft tissue, connective tissue, all the tissue, every organ in our physical bodies, the words of our lips, that they may be pleasing and acceptable unto you, the thoughts entering into our minds, the renewal of our minds, all eliminated by the light of your love, the light of your word. Praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving. That there be no darkness in us, but that we be light, as cities set on a hill, disseminating light into darkness, into the darkened places. And we give thanks to you this day, for we believe that we have received the request that we have requested of you. For we believe that this request came from you, and you placed it in us, that we may then bring it back to you as prayer, that you would hear and confirm the words that have been spoken by our lips. We give thanks to you this day. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed and his anointing, amen. Praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving be unto the living God. I don't know about you, but you know, I already have my praise on. You know, I get out of bed and the Lord begins to speak, and the Lord begins. Sometimes he has me already engaged in spiritual warfare, because guess what, church is a living God. Being a believer is about much more than simply showing up on Sunday, showing up for Bible study on Wednesday, showing up for choir rehearsal, showing up for usher rehearsal, etc., etc., etc. Being a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach is about confronting the forces of darkness, spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. That's what it's about. Setting the captives free. Jesus said, the things that I do shall you do, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. It's about spiritual warfare. It's about expanding the kingdom of God. And we expand this kingdom of God when we enforce the finished works of Jesus. And if you don't know what the finished works of Jesus is, then I would encourage you to peruse our blog site, lojwc.wordpress.com, because we have messages on the finished works of Jesus, what they are, what they mean to us, the spirit of empowerment that belongs to us as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, the power of attorney that his name is to us, that guarantees that our requests are not only heard in the highest heaven, but granted, because we enter in through the portal of his name. And all the works, the finished works of Jesus, are embedded in his name. That's why we pray in his name. That's why we speak to the forces of darkness. You see, Church of the Living God, not everything is a prayer. Jesus said, God said to me, he says, my people are asking me to do what I have already given them the authority to do. See, there's some things you don't pray about. You know it's the will of God because you've seen it in his word, and therefore you speak it in the name of Jesus. You stop powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. You bind and cast down spiritual wickedness in high places and loose the will and word of God Almighty, possessor of heaven and earth. Why? Because we are believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the anointed and his anointing. Praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving be unto the living God. I tell you, I'm full. I'm full. You know, I'm full. Praise the living God. I'm grateful to him that I am full. I'm grateful to him that the moment I get out of bed, the Lord begins to speak to me, and he says, you need to do this and this and this and this, and this situation needs to be addressed. Don't put it off. Do it now. Yes, that's the way he speaks to me. And I, his obedient daughter, God's daughter, dearly beloved, and I do those things that are pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving be unto the living God. Well, today is December 3rd. It is the first Sunday of the month, and we stopped affirming our belief here at Lion of Judah Worship Center on a weekly basis because it is posted on our website, www.lojworshipcenter.org. But once a month, for those who have not yet visited our website, it is there. But once a month, we affirm it once again. This is what we believe. This is our marching orders, what we believe as an affiliate of the body of Christ, Lion of Judah Worship Center. No, we are not yet in a brick and mortar. He took us out of brick and mortar, and he's placed us in a position to be able to go into all the world via cyberspace. And he said that we are to use all of the devices of the 21st century to reach the peoples that are not in a brick and mortar, but they're out there and they're on their devices. And so are we. We're in a chat room. Okay? We're in a chat room. Yep. They're raised up for gaming. But here we are. And this ain't no game. This be the real thing. Praise God. Our affirmation. We believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose again according to Scripture. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, who revealed himself on the day of Pentecost. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit and their continuous operation in the body of Christ. And we believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. Amen. What do we mean when we say we believe in the gifts of the Spirit? Well, I would strongly suggest that you read 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. God says of himself, "Behold, I am the Lord, I change not." He's further stated that he watches over his word to perform it. Anything that God did, he's still doing. Why? Because if he's not, then he has changed. And if he has changed, and the Bible says he has not changed, "Behold, I am the Lord, I change not," then the whole Bible needs to be scuttled and redid. Okay? And he says his words are eternal. His words are eternal. They change not. There's no addendum to his word. His words are eternal as he is eternal. For God is a spirit. His word is spirit and life. And we are spirit. And his word feeds our reborn spirits. Okay? So that's what we mean when we say we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And as I stated prior, you will find the gifts of the Spirit listed in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that they are still active and operating within the body of Christ in those that believe. Praise God. And revealed to those who don't believe in some circumstances and situations. And furthermore, we have a foundation scripture. This is the scripture that this ministry is situated upon because we teach spiritual warfare. We are here to teach the body of Christ how to prevail against the forces of darkness in each and every encounter. God never ordained us to turn and run. God never ordained us to create a partnership with the forces of darkness so they wouldn't come after us. We, the body of Christ, expand the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ the righteous, by doing those things that he did. And the word says that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. In other words, reverse the curse. Reverse the curse. That's our primary assignment. And that's what we teach here at Lion of Judah Worship Center. How to confront the prince of darkness, not in fear and trembling, but in the armor of God. Standing strong, firm, able to look him in the eye and say, "It is written." Praise the living God. And so therefore, our foundation scripture is Mark 11:23. And it reads, "For assuredly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Praise the living God. I get excited. I absolutely love that scripture. I love it when God gives me another message from that scripture, because, you know, the word of the living God is limitless. It does not have limitations. The limitations are placed there by us. We place limitations on the Word of God. We place limitations on the depths of the Word of the living God. But the Word of the living God is without depths. It is without boundaries. It is without walls. It can accomplish. It's according unto the level of our faith as to what the Word of the living God is able to accomplish in us, through us, by us, and with us. And we also have a faith confession. And our faith confession is made to the Prince of Darkness and his minions. You see, there are those that say that we're not to address the Prince of Darkness because Michael, the archangel in charge of the armies of God, said, "Satan, the Lord rebuke you." Well, guess what? Michael is not a human. Michael is an angel. Jesus did not come to redeem Michael. He did not redeem angels. The fallen angels became demons, and there is no plan of redemption for them. He came to redeem the human race, man. As many as believed in him, gave he them the ability to become sons and daughters of God Almighty, possessor of heaven and earth. So Michael does not have the authority that we have. Angels are messengers sent. Sin. That's why he said, "The Lord rebuke you." Okay? "You shall know the truth, and it is the truth you know that sets you free." That's what Jesus said. So our faith confession is, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I declare this body a sickness, disease-free zone." And let me tell you, with things that are going on in Congress, you better know that you know that you know that you know how to stand on the Word of the living God. You better know. It's not thinking about it. It's not hoping. You're not going with your fingers crossed. You're not pulling no chicken breast bone, no rabbit's foot. You need to know that you know that you know that you know. Okay? I'm just saying. "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I declare this body a sickness, disease-free zone. Every germ, virus, bacterium, etc., that touches this body dies instantly in the name of Jesus, who bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, and by whose stripes I have been healed. Furthermore, I command life into every cell in this body. I receive healing for my emotions, for every past, embedded, hurtful, fearful memory. I speak active deliverance from the law of sin and death according to the finished works of Jesus the Christ, the Anointed and His anointing." Praise the living God. That's just a primer to let us know who we are as believers. And Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Anointed and His Anointed. We are not all sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. And we can still sin, even though we have been redeemed. And we made that initial statement, according to Romans 10:9-10. Yes, we can continue to sin. We can. Why? Because we have free will. And God is not going to come down and chastise us. And sometimes when things are allowed to go on for a period of time, we think there's no recompense. We think that things will never change, that they will always be this way, and we can continue doing the things that we like because we've taken out an insurance policy that in essence states going to heaven when I die. Read the terms of your contract, okay? Read the terms of your contract. Praise the living God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And now we're going to prayer. Prayer enables us to speak directly to God. And it's not always about receiving from God a blessing, but it is also enabling us to become a blessor, that God can bless others through us as we lift up their names and their concerns and things to the living God, that we become a blessor. We lift up the needs of the people to him, and we receive the blessing of the Lord for the peoples. Glory to God. Prayer is awesome. And it's indeed a privilege to be able to enter into the throne room of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, without condemnation. And to, in essence, after we have did obeisance to him, and he instructs the angels of the living God to lift us up, and we're able to stand in his presence, even though we're standing there humble, when we see the very essence of God and we realize the power that's emanating from him. And even though we can hardly speak because our words are inadequate, glory to God, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And this is where the anointing comes in, because the Holy Spirit then smears us with the power of God, and we're able to speak in the presence of the Divine One, and to worship him, to magnify him, to bring forth our petitions, our supplications, and receive that we have asked of him. It's awesome. Prayer is awesome. Praise the living God. Our Father, you who dwell between the seraphim and the cherubim, you who are great and good and mighty and awesome, you who have redeemed us by your own precious shed blood, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, we worship you. We worship you. We bow down our soul and all soul portions, acknowledging you as sovereign in the universe, that we are not in the God class, even though we, the redeemed, are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We realize your greatness. We realize your strength. We realize your awesome power. And we worship you. We worship you. We give thanks to you for your goodness to us in the land of the living, for our salvation, redeemed, redeemed, the outpouring of your love, that you loved us and you gave your son as a sacrifice to redeem us unto yourself. Oh Lord our God, we are thankful to you. We are grateful to you. And this morning, as we stand in your presence, in the name and the authority of Jesus the Christ, the Anointed and his anointing, we thank you. But Father, our hearts are heavy, because you are aware and we are acutely aware that there are many whose hearts are even heavier than ours. And we bring in their burden, O Lord, the burden of grief, the burden of fear, the burden of disquietness, of apprehension, of worry, of doubt, O Lord our God. Jesus, 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 for those who are burdened by fear of the things coming upon this earth, for those that are in fearful situations where physical violence is real, it's real, oh Lord our God, Jesus, we send your word, your healing word, According to Psalms 107, verse 20, we send your word that your word may alter circumstances and situations, even if they don't personally know you. We, your children, send your word into these situations and circumstances where fear and doubt and worry are trending. Jesus, where violence, fear of violence, God Almighty, intimidation, Jesus, 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 fear of loss, oh my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, we send your word, and we speak to those mountain ranges of fear, of intimidation, of racism, in the name of Jesus, and we command him to be cast into the sea, and we expand your word over these situations, that the water of your word may create a mist, a healing mist, a healing mist. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. For I heard you say in your word, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, the peoples and they that dwell by the sea. The earth is yours. You are the one that created it. And so not only for your peoples, the peoples that are outside of the covenant, the people that are inside of the covenant, but yet know not and know not that they know not, but for all of creation. For the wildlife, the animals, for the rivers, the creeks. Oh, Lord, our God, we ask for divine intervention. But this earth is yours. You created it. The peoples that dwell on this earth are yours, for you created them. The fullness of this earth is yours. All the gold is yours. All the silver is yours. You own the cattle on 10,000 hills and the hills on which those cattle graze. The oil is yours. The gas is yours. The precious metals are yours. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. And for those who would in any way, form, or fashion attempt to upset the balance that enables this planet to continue as you stipulated and as you designed it. Oh Lord our God, we ask for divine intervention that your word may run swift on the wings of the wind and rectify that which is not of your will. That your permissive will would not permit this devastation, this desecration, to continue to go forth, that the peoples may know that there is a God in heaven, and his Son is named Jesus the Christ, the Anointed, and his anointing, and that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. And we thank you, O Lord our God, for we believe that you have heard the supplication and the petitions that has gone forth from the mouth of your daughter this day. In the name of Jesus the Christ. And we thank you for the anointing upon me to bring the message that you have given me. And upon the ears of the peoples that they may hear and understand. And the light of your word, the light of your love would be ignited and it would shine deeply into all the crevices, the dark places, the hidden places, all of the devices in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, that we may know you and the power of your resurrection. Praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving be unto you, both now and forever. In your name, Jesus, amen. We do praise you, we magnify you. We give glory, honor, and thanksgiving. Why do we give glory? What is glory? Glory is the manifestation of God Almighty, how he manifests himself in our midst, how he manifests himself. That's his glory, the outshowing of his glory. So we give glory unto him for the manifestation of his glory to us in our lives. We honor him as the Most High, as El Elyon, that there is no one in his class. Yes, we are the redeemed, and yes, we are his children. But we do not come to him horizontally. There will always be a vertical extension extended to us as children of the Most High. And we honor you. And we praise you and we worship you. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, acknowledging you as sovereign. You are sovereign in the universe. There is no one like you. We thank you for your goodness to us in the land of the living. Glory, honor, and thanksgiving be unto you, O Lord Most High. And now we're going to share scripture. Before we go into the message, we share a scripture that enables us to keep our mind stayed on God, to plant that word, planting the word seed of the living God, that his word may prosper and grow in our hearts and bring forth fruit, that our hearts may be good ground. We don't want our hearts to be the wayside. We don't want our hearts to be filled with rocks. That's fear underneath. We don't want the cares of this world, worry, doubt, unbelief, the lust of the eyes, pleasures, to choke the word seed, that it is unable to bear fruit. We push all those things far back into the parameters, far, 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 and we till the soil of our spirits. This is with the word of the living God. We are tilling the soil of our hearts, that our hearts may be good ground and bring forth fruit in its season. And we further believe that this is a season. God said, in that day, before they speak, I will hear. And while they are yet speaking, I will answer. So we believe that the answer is already on the way of all of the petitions. We believe that our hearts have been tilled, purified by the fire of God, washed with the washing of water of the word, fertilized by the word of the living God. And the scriptures that we're going to use to fertilize the soil of our hearts this morning are all taken from this subject of God's faithfulness. God is faithful. He is the faithful God. And they are Deuteronomy 7:9, Deuteronomy 4:31, Psalms 105:8, Numbers 23:19, 1 Kings 8:56, Isaiah 25:1, and Psalms 119:89-90. Seven scriptures, spiritual perfection. Glory to God. God's faithfulness. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. That was Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 4. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. Psalms 105:8. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Food for thought. Church is a living God. Food for thought. 1 Kings 8:56. Praise be to the Lord, all caps, the self-existent one, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Listen to this. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave. Not one word. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, all caps, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done marvelous things planned long ago. And we conclude with Psalms 119, verses 89 and 90. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. Once again, all caps, the self-existent one. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. May the word of the living God indeed bring forth fruit in its season. May it prosper and grow, and may it bring forth changes that are needful and necessary to us, that we may be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God, the Father of lights. Glory to the living God. And now, what you've been waiting for, the word, the main course. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Are you shouting yet? Are you doing one-arm handstands in your spirit? Well, guess what? I am. Praise the living God. The word this morning, the message, is entitled, God's Report, Receive or Reject. I bet that woke everybody up. God's Report, Receive or Reject. In other words, do you receive God's report or do you reject God's report? And the next question is, well, what is God's report? Well, I'm so glad you asked. God's report, receive or reject. And we will be sharing from Acts 10:31. Acts 10:31, God's report. Now, this is taken from the account of Peter. When Peter was sent to Cornelius, the Gentiles, this is when the physical descendants of Abraham first really realized that God was no respecter of persons, because the gospel that had been primarily circulating among the physical descendants of Abraham was now being expanded to the Gentiles, those that knew not, that were not descendants of Abraham, who knew not the covenant. They had no prior covenant relationship with God the Almighty. But God sent Peter to Cornelius' house because Cornelius was praying. He'd heard. You know, I dare say, you've heard about Jesus. What have you heard about Jesus? And what have you done with what you heard? Have you acted on that word? Have you cried out to him for revelation? God's report, receive or reject. And as I prior stated, this is Peter when he went to Cornelius' household. And we are going to begin reading with verse 34 for clarity. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witness of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead." I read from verse 34 through verse 41, and our key scripture is verse 38, and we're going to read that one again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Glory to God. The goodness of God to us in the land of the living. That was from the New King James. And now we're going to share from the Amplified as well, because we need clarity. We need to know. We need to be able. And I'm going to say this again. I said on a regular basis, God is a spirit. We were created spirit. We have souls, and we live in earth suits that we call bodies. We operate in the natural realm through sense knowledge. We acquire knowledge of how to operate on this planet in the natural world through sense knowledge. But God is a spirit. His word is spirit. We are spirit. In order to understand how to operate in the spiritual realm, it requires spirit food, spirit light, spirit led. The word is spirit. We are spirit. God is spirit. Why am I saying this? That we don't try to understand God's word through the application of sense knowledge, that we will not spend time critiquing, analyzing, applying logic and reasoning, because it falls short, because the word of the living God is spirit. God is spirit. We are spirit. Our spirits were reborn after the separation. When Jesus came and when he paid the sacrifice to redeem us from the authority of the kingdom of darkness, as many as received him, gave he them the authority to become sons and daughters of God. And when we make that confession of faith according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, our spirits are reborn. They are reconnected. They become alive. When our spirits died, they became almost one with the soul. And whatever happened in the soul, roots went down into the spirit, deep-rooted. There are some things, some bondages that are deep, deep rooted. They have roots that go down deep into our spirits. And that's why it takes more than just a simple command. It takes the vigilance and diligence of the word of the living God and the knowledge of how to conduct spiritual warfare to not only speak the word for ourselves, but for those that we are interceding for, that we're speaking for, that we are supplicating for, who are held in bondage. Okay? Hebrews 2:14 and 15 says that Jesus came to deliver them who through all their lifetime were held in bondage by that fear of death. Fear of death. Okay? Jesus came to deliver them who through all of their lives were held in bondage by their fear of death. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. I didn't write it. It's in the book. Okay? So now let us share from the Amplified. And once again, we're going to start reading with verse 34. Opening his mouth, Peter said, "Most certainly I understand now that God is not one to show partiality to people as though Gentiles were excluded from God's blessings. But in every nation, the person who fears God and does what is right by seeking him is acceptable and welcomed by him. You know the message which he sent to the sons of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know that the things that have taken place throughout Judea, starting in Galilee, after the baptism preached by John, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with great power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him." And we're going to share from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Begin with Isaiah 51, 61, verses 1 through 3, and we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives, and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance and retribution of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion the following: to give them a turban instead of dust on their heads as a sign of mourning, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a disheartened spirit, so they will be called the trees of righteousness, strong and magnificent, distinguished for integrity, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. And then we come to Luke 4:18, because Isaiah is prophesying about the Messiah whom he had not seen, but a prophet is the mouthpiece of God. God speaks to the people through the prophet, a prophetess, whoever. They are the mouthpiece of God. He speaks through the prophet. He speaks through the prophetess. God speaks to his people through the prophet or the prophetess. So as God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking through the prophets of old, they prophesied of the Messiah whom they had not seen, but they believed the word. And Isaiah, in the 61st chapter of the book that is called by his name, prophesied of the Messiah who had not yet made his appearance on this earth. Now, the Messiah, the risen one, the holy one, Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed and his anointing. That's what Christ means. It's not his last name. It means the anointed one. Anointed is smearing. It's an overlay, as it were. The Holy Spirit revealed that to me, that word, an overlay. How the physical, the mundane, is overlaid with the power of God, the anointing. And when that anointing is upon an individual, then that individual can also transform the mundane into the supernatural, because the power of God is upon him or her. Whoo, glory to God. And I can barely sit in this chair, but I'm wired in, so I suppose I should remain copacetic. So now we're coming to Luke 4:18. And this now is the Messiah, and he is speaking of himself what Isaiah prophesied centuries before. And we're going to begin with, we're going to begin with verse 14. "Then Jesus went back to Galilee, and the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the entire region. And he began teaching in their synagogues, and was praised and glorified and honored by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, pardon, forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of the Lord abound greatly.' Then he rolled up the scroll, having stopped in the middle of the verse, gave it back to the attendant and sat down to teach. And the eyes of all those in the synagogue were attentively fixed on him. He began speaking to them, 'Today This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing and in your presence. Glory to the living God. Hallelujah. How God, the Father of lights, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. God's report, receive or reject. Glory to God.